You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 165 of Rudolf Steiner's Collected Works, 13 lectures, entitled Unifying Humanity Spiritually Through the Christ Impulse, translated by Christian von Arnim. This is Lecture 6, given in Dornach on the 31st of December, 1915. Some of the things we want to talk about with regard to the secrets of the spiritual world have to be indicated in pictorial form to begin with, or we might say indicated half pictorially, which does not, however, mean that such images are not meant to be taken as reality. Indicating what I want to tell you today in pictorial form, so that you can meditate further on it in your own mind, is necessary, because if we were to speak not in images but in concepts, there would have to be long explanations. But everyone can themselves get to the deeper aspects if they let what I will say today be present in their mind and meditate on it, as it were. Every year at this time of the year, we pass from one period to the next. We can certainly see that to begin with as a convenient division of chronological order. But it is no such thing, because the people who had to make the chronological divisions followed certain major laws of the division of time out of a profound instinct. We celebrate this festival of transition from one year to the next, and I refer, of course, to our part of the world, in the depth of winter, in the period in which the plants have stopped growing, blossoming, and bearing fruit. Only certain evergreens, as people call them, continue to keep their leaves through the winter whiteness. The sun is at its weakest. We know that spiritual events are interwoven with all the events which take place in front of our senses. We know that when we walk through the forest, we not only have the trees of the forest with their green needles or their leaves around us, but that spiritual and soul beings are also at work in the mysterious depths of existence. We have already found our way to experiencing, as indicative of true reality, those things which are viewed as childish superstition by the very clever people of our time. And so it is to us that spiritual workings and development underlie everything of a sensory nature, be it fixed things or be it events that can be observed with the senses. And so we begin by looking at the non-living, the inorganic earth, as it is called, at everything that is mineral realm on our earth, by looking at everything that is lifeless. Lifeless is all that it is to the outer materialist. For us, everything lifeless has a soul and spiritual element, so that we can also speak of a soul and spiritual part of our whole so-called lifeless and inorganic, purely mineral earth. Nevertheless, when we speak about such earth consciousness, we do not, to begin with, even see in the geological and mineral part anything that could be compared with the muscles and blood in human beings, but only the skeleton, namely the firm part of the earth. So that when we speak about this earth consciousness, we have to think of it as being connected with the whole earth, which comprises not only the skeleton, but also water, air, and so on, corresponding to muscles and blood. The whole earth has consciousness, a consciousness which belongs to its mineral realm. We need not concern ourselves with the change of this consciousness in a particular region throughout the year, but we want to bring the idea to mind that the whole earth has its consciousness. And now, we turn our gaze away from the whole mineral earth to that which grows out of the earth, as the plant world. When we look at it within the meaning of spiritual science, we have to begin by looking at this plant world as an independent being in comparison to the earth, and that the totality of plant existence is an independent being in comparison to the earth only emerges properly if we look at the consciousness of these two beings. We can speak of the consciousness of the whole mineral earth, but we can also talk of a consciousness of the whole plant world as it develops on earth. The laws of this consciousness are, however, different from the laws of human consciousness. If we speak of plant consciousness, we can only ever speak of a specific region, because that consciousness changes depending on the region of the earth. We do not take into account as human beings that there is actually a certain parallelism between our consciousness and the consciousness of, for example, the plant world of the whole earth, because we take our daytime consciousness up into our full consciousness, but not our nighttime consciousness. We can simply say, to avoid making our reflections too complicated, when we are awake during the day, the eye and our astral body are in our physical body. But I have already pointed out that this actually relates only to our blood and nervous system, not to the other systems. Because when the eye and astral body are outside our head, as it were, they are all the more strongly in the rest of our organism. It is very parallel with this that when, for example, it is winter on one side of the earth, it is summer on the other side. That too is just a change of consciousness. That is the same as with us. We only do not take account of it, because in us, human beings, the two consciousnesses do not have the same brightness. In us, they are of different intensity. The nighttime consciousness is subdued for us, so that there is no consciousness to all intents and purposes, and the daytime consciousness is a full consciousness of our other side. Our lower nature is awake at night, when our higher nature is asleep, just as is the case with the earth when it is winter on one side and summer on the other. When there is a waking state on the one side, there is a sleeping state on the other, and vice versa. The way I have explained the matter now, and how we have already explained it many times, actually only applies with regard to the plant world. The plant world sleeps for us during the height of summer, precisely while it is in abundant growth. It is asleep while it unfolds its physical side to the greatest extent. And it is awake with full consciousness when it undergoes no outward physical development, but its physical development diminishes. Thus we speak of all plants on earth as a whole, and this totality of the plant world has a consciousness. When we speak about this consciousness, which is therefore a second consciousness pervading the mineral consciousness of the earth, when we speak about this plant consciousness, we can say, in a true sense, this plant consciousness is asleep in our region during the height of summer and awake in the dark winter period. But then something else also happens about this time. You see, the two consciousnesses, that is, this whole earth consciousness that belongs to the mineral earth and the whole plant consciousness, are separate. They are two beings throughout the whole year. However, they are not only two beings, but they pervade one another, so that the one is pervaded by the other at the present time. At the point where the one year develops over into the next one, at that point our mineral things and processes on earth and the whole of the plant world have one consciousness. That is, their two consciousnesses pervade one another. What then is the nature of the mineral consciousness of the earth, which today, as I said, we do not intend to look at in its differentiation, as we did plant consciousness, which we conceive of as waking in winter time and sleeping in summer time? What then is the particular nature of mineral consciousness, the consciousness of the great earth being? people who are only restricted to their physical senses and restricted to a reason which they see as belonging to the physical senses cannot to begin with, know anything about this great earth consciousness. But spiritual science can teach us what this earth consciousness is actually thinking. Thinks in the same way that we conceive of minerals, plants, animals, air, rivers, mountains, and so on. The earth thinks in the same way that we think, with our ordinary day consciousness, about what surrounds us. But what does it think with its consciousness? Let us ask today, what does the earth think with its consciousness? To begin with, the earth thinks with its consciousness about the heavenly spaces belonging to earth. In the same way that we look out with our eyes at trees or at stones, so the earth looks with its consciousness out at the heavenly spaces and thinks about everything that is happening in the stars. The earth is a being that thinks about the processes of the stars. So basically, the mineral consciousness contains the secret of the whole cosmos as a thought. While we human beings walk superficially across the earth and only think about the stones against which we stub our toe or about whatever else surrounds our senses, the earth thinks about the cosmos out there with the consciousness through which we walk as we walk through our spaces. It truly has more comprehensive, greater thoughts than we do. And it is basically incredibly uplifting when we know you are not just walking through the air, you are walking through the earth's thoughts. And now let us look back at the other thing, at plant consciousness. Plants cannot think as much as the earth. The consciousness, the thinking consciousness of the plant world, of all the plant world, not the individual plants, is much more restricted. It comprises smaller surroundings of the earth for the whole of the year, just not in these days. At this time, plant consciousness becomes one with the whole of the consciousness of the earth. And because plant consciousness pervades the consciousness of the earth, our earth's plant world knows during the new year period, that is now, of the secrets of the stars, takes up the secrets of the stars and uses them so that the plants in turn can develop in the spring in accordance with the secrets of the cosmos and can bear flowers and fruit. Because the whole secret of the cosmos is contained in the way that the plants can bear leaves and flowers and fruit. But while they are bearing leaves and flowers, the plants cannot think about it. They can only think about it in the current time, at the time when the consciousness of the plant world is united with the consciousness of the mineral world. That is why we say in spiritual science, at this time, approximately on New Year's Eve, two cycles interpenetrate. And that is the secret of all existence as such, that two cycles interpenetrate and then continue their further development separately, then interpenetrate again. Just think how wonderful this secret of becoming is. Plant consciousness, mineral consciousness, two developmental streams. They go their separate ways throughout the year, and then unite in the time in which the one year passes over into the next. Then they go their separate ways again for the rest of the year, and unite again in the new year period. That is the cyclical progress of this story. And now let us look from this process, which can fill us with a profound, holy awe regarding the secrets of the transition from one cycle of the year to the next cycle of the year. Now, let us look from this secret, which, as I might say, we walk through directly, to another even greater secret. We know that we now live in the cycle of consciousness soul development, that this cycle was preceded by the cycle of intellectual or mind soul development, which was preceded by the development of the sentient soul, and then we come to the development of the sentient body. That takes us back as far as the 5th millennium before the Christian era. If we go back as far as the time in which all human thinking developed within the cycle of the sentient body, the so-called astral body. Right now, we have to pass through the consciousness soul. Human beings will develop through spirit self and further. The consciousness soul develops in our current time, mainly in that human beings use their physical body alone as a tool. That is why we now have, as you have already heard in various lectures here, the deluge of materialism, because people are primarily using their physical body. But a time will come in which they will not just use their physical body. I have described how human beings continue to progress, in which they will learn to use their etheric body again. We'll learn to use their astral body in the way they used it a long time ago, in the developmental cycle in which the astral body provided the foundation of consciousness. So we can say, we were once on earth in such a way that our soul was in contact with its consciousness, with the consciousness of the astral body. In the same way that at New Year, plant consciousness passes through mineral consciousness, so our soul, millennia ago, passed through our astral body, through the consciousness which is central to our astral body. At that time, our souls were one in their consciousness with our astral body. We go back millennia for that, into the 6th millennium before the Christian era. When this consciousness began, humanity on earth celebrated a new year, a great new year. Just as we now have New Year approaching us as the passage of plant and mineral consciousness, so New Year occurred on our earth 6 millennia before the Christian era, but as a great cosmic New Year of our earth. The consciousness of our soul united with, went through the astral consciousness of our body. And what happened at that time? At that time, 6 millennia before the Christian era, when our inner soul consciousness passed through the astral consciousness of our body, our restricted human consciousness, as we have it now, expanded as much as plant consciousness expands at New Year. Just as the plant looks out into the heavens because its consciousness has united with mineral consciousness, so human beings saw and heard a wide field of wisdom at that time, 6 millennia before the Christian era, when their souls united with the astral body at cosmic New Year. And that is the period in which the knowledge originates which has been lost. We spoke about it some days ago, as Gnostic knowledge. We have to look for the origin of this knowledge in the earthly cosmic new year, about 6,000 years before the Christian era. It is the knowledge on which Zarathustra drew. The knowledge whose last great rays shone on the Gnostics, and of which only a few fragments are left, as I explained, and of which I gave an example. That goes back to Earth Winter, Earth New Year. And now, add about another 4,000 years to the years that have passed since the start of Christianity, and our soul consciousness will once again pass through astral consciousness in the way I indicated just now, except at a higher level. Human beings will once again enter such a cosmic consciousness of the stars. And that is what we want to prepare for through our spiritual science, so that there are people who are ready for it. We want to prepare for the cosmic new year. And if we prepare the Christmas festival in the way I have indicated here in a previous reflection, we will prepare in the right way. We will prepare for the new cosmic year, which will occur 12 millennia after the old cosmic new year. by turning the birth of spiritual knowledge in us into the hallowed mood of Christmas. 12 months of the year pass from one union to the next of plant consciousness on earth with mineral consciousness. 12 millennia pass from one cosmic new year of earth to the next cosmic new year of earth. From one passage of the human soul through the astral world to the next passage of the human soul through the astral world. So in this hallowed hour, we look from new year on a small scale to the new year on a grand scale. From the annual new year to the new year for which we prepare by trying to see now in winter time the light which in a natural elementary way only flows toward human beings as inhabitants of the earth in the cosmic new year of earth. Truly, we only see the world in the right light if we grasp what surrounds us, not just as it presents itself through the senses, as it is understood by the materialistic spirit, but if we view what surrounds us in the external world of the senses as a symbol for the great secrets of the cosmos. And so it can appear to us as New Year approaches, as if a messenger from the spiritual world came to us and revealed to us the secret of New Year's Eve each year by telling us, see how in the dark, cold midwinter, plant consciousness unites with mineral earth consciousness. But let that be a sign to you that the earth also has a year, the great cosmic year, of which Zarathustra once spoke, and which he meant as a reality extending from one New Year's Eve to the next New Year's Eve, from one cosmic New Year to the next cosmic New Year, which must be understood if the progression of human development is to be comprehended. Zarathustra spoke about 12 millennia. He was referring to the 12 millennia of which I have spoken to you today. He set out one earth year in 4 periods of time as the developmental progression of humanity on earth. This is based on profound spiritual secrets. And so let a hallowed mood take hold of our souls, our hearts, out of a deeper understanding of our spiritual science. Let us develop that inner warmth in our hearts, which can come to us if we hear on a frosty winter's night the tidings of the descent of the Sun Spirit to us on earth, and then of the secret of the course of the year. The 13 days are the days in which plant consciousness combines with mineral consciousness. And if human beings can put themselves in plant consciousness, then they can dream. Then they can see the manifold secrets which pass through their hearts in many different ways, as we let them pass through our souls here last year in the dream of Olaf Asteson. But if we make such a hallowed mood our own, then we will find the right feeling out of that mood for what we want to achieve with our endeavors regarding spiritual knowledge. We want to use such heart warmth to prepare the new cosmic year, anticipate in solemnity the new cosmic New Year's Eve, which must bring a new cosmic year. So when our souls live through the great cosmic New Year's Eve and following incarnations, under quite different circumstances on earth, they will live through it in the way they lived through it when the little New Year's Eve, the day which occurs not after 12,000 years, but after 12 months, becomes the symbol for the great New Year's Eve. And that is the secret of our existence. Everything is the same, both on the large scale and the small scale. And we will only understand the small scale, what happens in the course of the year, if we see it as a symbol of the great cosmic events, of what happens in the course of millennia. The year is the image of the eons, and the eons are the reality for those symbols which we encounter in the course of the year. If we understand the course of the year in the right way, then in this sacred night, when the new year starts its course, we will be imbued by the thought of the great cosmic secrets. Let us try to put our soul in such a mood that it can look toward the new year in the awareness it wishes to carry within itself the course of the year as a symbol for the great course of the cosmos. The cosmos comprising all the secrets which the divine beings who stream through and weave in the world pursue with our souls from one eon to the next. Just as the more minor gods pursue the secret becoming of the plant and mineral realm in the course of the individual year. The end of Lecture 6.